This is a Brain Channel program from the Department of Neurosciences at the UC San Diego School of Medicine. Visit us at www.uctv.tv/brain to explore cutting-edge research, treatment options for conditions related to the nervous system, and the inner workings of the human mind.
Greetings, Bill Mobley for UCTV, the Brain Channel, and another edition of On Our Mind, talking again about Alzheimer's disease. And I'm with Steve Wagner today, a professor at UCSD and an expert in understanding the biology of Alzheimer's disease, but really importantly for this program, about the treatments that are coming forward that we're so hopeful for in this disorder. So Steve, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and what you're up to.
Sure. I've worked in the local biopharmaceutical industry for a little over the last 20 years. I've worked with numerous major pharmaceutical companies that we've collaborated with, and my entire career has been really focused on neurodegenerative disease and diagnostics and therapeutics. But most recently, I've focused on an area of Alzheimer's therapeutics, which really target something that I heard Dr. Azen mention several times during his interview. What we feel is the real pathological agent in Alzheimer's, and that's the amyloid and the amyloid neuritic plaques that are the really the diagnostic pathological entity that characterizes Alzheimer's disease. And what my team has done, and this goes back almost 15 years, has been to try to identify compounds that could suppress the synthesis of this particular amyloid, which I try to describe it using an analogy of hypercholesterolemia. This to me, amyloid is the cholesterol of the brain. Mm. And Bill, you're very familiar with the drugs we know as statins, which Lipitor and there's a whole number of them that are the most prescribed drugs in the world. And they've been very effective over the years of reducing the incidence of coronary artery disease and stroke. And what we're hoping is that that we've identified compounds that will have the same impact on Alzheimer's. Mm. It may take us a while to know, but we've really taken virtually the same approach of identifying the key enzymes that create this amyloid, which basically riddles our brains. It prevents the communication between neurons. It largely builds up at the synapses. And I know Dr. Malinow had a lot to say about that. It was a very interesting interview. So we have, believe we've identified a safe approach. As it turns out, with cholesterol, the enzyme that was targeted was basically one which had essentially one job to do, and that's to make cholesterol. The problem with the enzymes that make the amyloid is that they do a lot of other things. And so we had to figure out a way of tricking this enzyme into not making this one particular form of amyloid, which is happens to be the longest form. And with these peptides, the actual length or the number of amino acids is very important in their ability to form these deposits or plaques, which again wreak havoc in our ability to reason, to think, to communicate. Most recently, we were awarded a UO1 Blueprint Neurotherapeutics Award, and there were one of only a handful that had been awarded. So, and you know, Bill, you've been working with me on this project, and we believe that after 3 years and synthesizing over 400 derivatives of this one particular series of compounds that we've actually identified one that has the in vivo activity that we've been searching for.
Steve, this is really exciting. And you know, I think one of the things that I'll interject is that as a basic scientist and somebody who cares about Alzheimer's disease, I've been amazed at how very difficult it has been to go from a very good idea to what looks like a very potentially very good drug. It might be useful just to talk about the process that you're involved in and how that has matured over the last few years.
Sure, sure. When I was fortunate enough to come to UCSD in your department, I had a lot of experience in screening compound libraries, doing what's called lead identification, lead optimization. There's other terminologies, lead evolution, lead hopping. But I had a lot of experience with working with very talented medicinal chemists that if you give them a very robust, very reproducible, and you can't emphasize reproducible enough, but if you give them a very good assay, they can actually make molecules more active, more active, more active, more potent. Mm-hmm. Potency is the term we use.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, that's, unfortunately, that's only one component.
Yeah.
The compound has to have all the right properties. And I'm talking about it has to be absorbed properly. It has to be deposited in the right tissues. It's got to be able to get across the blood-brain barrier. It's got to have a long enough half-life. It's got to have proper clearance. Most importantly, it's got to be very safe. And so we do a number of studies to make sure the compound, we call these in vitro ADMET properties, which is absorption, deposition, metabolism, excretion, and toxicity. And we have a bunch of predictive in vitro tests. And we typically use liver microsomes, but a number of other cell models. And if compounds make it through those particular assays, meaning they have all the right, they give us all the right numbers. So we like for a compound, for example, to show stability in a liver tissue sample. That tells us, well, the body's not going to just immediately get rid of it. We have all of these xenobiotic metabolizing enzymes, which again, are largely in the liver, and we want to make sure that we're not inducing certain of these to avoid potential drug-drug interaction problems. So, and those are just a few of the...
So it's all very technical, but in fact, to make an idea into a drug, all these steps are really necessary. And so while your project goes forward, and while we're so excited about that possibility, there are other shots on goal, if you will, therapeutically.
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about what other people are testing in terms of Alzheimer's therapeutics.
Sure. So... I'll break it down into a couple of areas. To me, it was always I always wanted to study or to try to find therapies for diseases that had a genetic basis.
Mm-hmm.
And so, really, there are, and of course, a pathological model that really gives scientists like myself a huge advantage because our rationale is that if we can interrupt the flow of the pathology or the pathogenesis, we'll have an ability to modify the disease course or slow it down.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you can go back to the analogy of hypercholesterolemia and coronary artery disease, where you have high levels of cholesterol. So one approach is to target beta amyloid. And there are really three major areas that are in really high pursuit by virtually every pharmaceutical company,
mm-hmm.
and including our lab.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about ours. I'm talking about the NIH, the NINDS, Dr. Mobley's lab and my laboratory, and a number of others.
Mm-hmm.
So these approaches are, our approach is gamma secretase, which is one of the enzymes, and we're trying to modulate that enzyme, as I mentioned, just to steer it away from making this pathological form of amyloid. There's another enzyme that's critical for that particular amyloid, and it's instead of gamma secretase, it's called beta secretase. And there are a number of pharmaceutical companies, including J&J, Pfizer, and I could Merck, that have Eli Lilly, that have programs. In fact, many of them have clinical trials already underway, where they're again trying to inhibit that enzyme, which is vital for making this amyloid. And then there's also what I would lump as immunotherapeutic approaches using humanized monoclonal antibodies that we hope will help in clearing the amyloid, because if it's there are two schools of thought, really, and they're both probably important. One is that there's an overproduction and of this long particular form, and that is appears to be clearly the case with the early onset familial or inheritable forms of Alzheimer's disease. The other possibility, obviously, is that the body or the brain has a problem getting rid of it. And we believe that that may actually be more important in the more sporadic or late onset form of the disease. But we're trying to get a handle on as many of these approaches as possible. There's also another lesion, which is very important, and I would be remiss not to mention this, and this is the tangles. The tangles are actually within the neurons, and they're really, I describe them as a dying neuron. Typically, it's believed, and there's pretty good evidence for this, that the amyloid plaques come first, and interestingly, and I heard Dr. Azen mention this correctly, they come years before the patients present themselves with any signs of cognitive impairment. But the tangles actually come closer to the time of the impairment, and many people believe, based on data that shows, that they actually correlate better with the clinical dementia than do the plaques. So this is also, and there's a molecule like beta amyloid makes up the plaques. Tau makes up the tangles. And so there are now approaches targeting this one particular form of tau, which builds up inside the neurons, forms these filaments, and the neurons are basically non-functional after that. And it's a very complicated process, but we know, based on over 100 years of studying the pathology, that these two are always present in Alzheimer's disease, along with the dementia. So I think there are also a number of other approaches for targeting just the behavioral aspects. There are approved drugs already for which are acetylcholinesterase inhibitors like Aricept and so forth that actually, at least on a temporary basis, do offer some cognitive improvement. And there are a lot of other, and I'm Paul Azen, I'm sure, covered this. But what I'm most interested in, and what I think most of the research in both the pharmaceutical industry as well as the translational research being done in the universities as well as the not-for-profit institutions are really focused around those pathologies. And I think that's a very prudent, logical approach.
Steve, with all your experience in the field and having done it for so many years, you must be impressed by all the progress, and yet we're sitting here still without proven therapy for modifying the disease. What's your sense now? Are you hopeful that we're getting close? Can you envision a time when we'll have therapies that are not just helping symptoms but really modifying disease?
Yeah, I I was fortunate enough to see Paul Azen's interview, and I have the same sentiments. I mean, I echo his sentiments. And the reason I'm so encouraged at this present time is that guys like Paul, over the years, he's done so many clinical trials, and he has, they've learned so much about how to use all of the neuropsychometric instruments, and now they have these tools, which he mentioned, where we can actually non-invasively monitor these lesions, both the plaques, the amyloid plaques, and the neurofibrillary tangles, which contain the altered tau protein. Mm-hmm. These are tools we've never had, or we've never had them in the shape that they are now, meaning the resolution and the sensitivity are such that we can actually monitor whether or not a drug's having an effect. Yeah. We're also learning that it's very important, based on the number of longitudinal studies, that we have to start very early. And the genetics has advanced so much that we know people that are not only prone but have an autosomal dominant form of a gene. And this enables us to do trials which we call preventative trials. And then there's also, so those are primary prevention. There's secondary prevention trials, because we know that people that have these large visible amounts of amyloid, they're ultimately going to become cognitively impaired. And so we could use these types of imaging techniques. Paul mentioned positron emission tomography, and there are others. But we can actually treat these patients when we believe for sure that they're going to ultimately develop cognitive problems. So we call those secondary prevention trials. And so I think the clinical studies, although they've been negative thus far, for the most part, we've learned so much that I believe now for the first time you're seeing these large prevention studies being done with this family in Colombia that has this autosomal dominant mutation in one of the subunits of gamma secretase, which is the very target that you and I have selected to target. So I've never been more optimistic. I'm thrilled to be able to have the privilege to work on a project like this. It's been my life's mission, and there's a lot of excitement in the air right now at NIH, at the pharmaceutical companies, and I think literally the clinical trialist, the medicinal chemist, the animal modelers, the biologists have all come to a place now where I think we've got a real good shot. Because we've learned so much over the years. I mean, you know, we initially thought that if we just inhibited this enzyme, gamma secretase, we'd have the disease cured. We came up with extremely potent molecules. They turned out to have serious problems. But we've learned so much about the enzymes and their roles. And we believe we know how to attenuate these particular enzymes, which ultimately take you from a perfectly normal protein into something which the brain can't get rid of. Mm-hmm. And it wreaks havoc on the brain. So I think it's just a combination of the advancement of science that has enabled us to be so optimistic.
Well, I'm optimistic too, and I'm very thankful for all the contributions you're making here at UCSD. And so for On Our Mind, this is Bill Mobley. Hope you'll join us again.